Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Menapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program and author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, who happens to be on a book tour right now, Pat Forman. Today is Monday, November 14th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. If you're listening live right now, you're automatically in the chat room. Just scroll down a little bit and you'll see it. It's opened up already on your screen. But if you haven't registered, you're in there as a guest. Please take a moment to click on the register button and register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our hobby and passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming and gardening, preparedness, and a whole lot more. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro.
Menapro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Menapro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Menapro. Nurturing life.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, V-E-R-M-X-USA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is, of course, trying to think of a little word. It's Monday. Let's just face it. It is Monday. I hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Hope you got a lot accomplished on your homesteads, hanging out there, and lots of successful work done. Hope you had time to visit with friends and family, and, of course, time to relax. But, yep, today is a Monday. It is another Monday. But we'll make it through another long week together. I assure you of that. We've got great guests coming on this week and great, great shows. And so let me go ahead and put Pat back on mute here. I was getting a lot of feedback. So, yeah, everything went well here at the homestead over the weekend. We got a lot caught up on Friday, so we had a pretty nice, relaxing weekend here at the homestead, and it looks like it's going to be hopefully kind of relaxing this week as well. But always a pleasure and an honor to come here every day, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and join the thousands of listeners that tune into the show either live or on the archives via iTunes, podcast.com, Zoom.com, and we thank you very much for listening to the radio show. So let me see. I'm going to try to bring Pat back live here and see what kind of feedback we got. In fact, it is now time to – and horrible, horrible feedback. Let me go back on mute. So let me get in the chat room here and see what kind of let me get a sound check here. Okay, let's do a first sound check here. Testing 1, 2, 3. We want to do a sound check right now. Sound check 1, 2, 3. We're on about a 25-second delay, so in about 25 seconds, I'll get some feedback from our good friends in the chat room that are joining us. I see that we have some guests in the chat room as well. If you would, take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in and sit a spell with the rest of us and join in and participate in the chat room. So sound check, sounding all good from Walter, and okay, and that sounds good from Grover. Okay, I'm going to go back over here to the switchboard and bring Pat on, and then we'll do another sound check. Okay, I've got Pat on, just a second, and I want to see what kind of the sound. Do you hear some feedback? Do you hear an echo now? I hear a horrible echo and some feedback now that I've brought Pat live, so let's go ahead. Yep, hang on just a second, Pat. Let's see if anybody else can actually... crosstalk, more like crosstalk when we bring Pat on, it says here in the chat room. I'm not sure why. So give me just a second, Pat. I'm going to put you back on mute because that'll drive our listeners and myself crazy. And then I think I will try to call back in, see what kind of line I can get better calling in. And then we'll try that and see if we can get maybe a better line for the host. So hang on just a second. All righty, so we're here in the sound check. Let me go back over here in the chat room, and Pat says she's in a national forest, so that might make all the difference in the world. So let's see what we've got now. Okay, bringing back chat. There you go. Yep, I'm still getting a lot of that feedback, and I guess they can hear it too. But we'll just go ahead.
I'll call
and,
in on Skype, Andy. I'll just go ahead and get Skype booted up, so I'll be back in just a second.
Okay, we'll try that. Thank you. All righty, let me get back over here to the chat room. Yeah, lots of good comments coming from the chat room. We really appreciate that, especially. When we are on the road and we take the radio show on the road, which we do, I guess, quite frequently. And so we rely on your comments and feedback in the chat room. So thank you, Jesse, for that. And Dragonflyer and Rhode Island Ruby and all the others who are commenting. So hey, I've got some good news to share. I got an update over the weekend. I had posted this on our Facebook page, but Facebook is sometimes a little light. Okay, I got to get over to the switchboard and see when Pat calls back in to make sure I bring her on. But I got some really good news. I went over and I found out that we were, thanks to all of you great listeners, both live listeners and the listeners that listen to the archive on iTunes. This includes podcast, Zune, and other. But currently on iTunes, we were number, because since we broadcast every day, Monday through Friday, we have a lot of podcasts and a lot of shows that we do. And listener numbers go up and down based on the day and people's schedule and who we have on and whatnot. But we were actually, the radio show was actually number 13 on iTunes and number 20 on iTunes regarding BTR shows out of New York. So we were thrilled with that, number 13 and number 20. So we had two radio shows last week pop in the top 20 there on iTunes for BTR out of New York. And so that was, we were very, very thrilled and pleased and honored. Twice, not just once, but we were in the top 20 twice, number 13 and number 20. So I'll keep trying to monitor that and see how close we can get up to number in the top five, which would be really cool. And so that just shows that we must be doing something right. We must have the guests that you want to hear on and the experts in their field, and you must be enjoying the shows about sustainability, backyard gardening and farming and sustainability and poultry and whatnot. So we thank you all, both our live listeners and listeners to the archive show, for putting us in the top 20 twice over on iTunes. So we appreciate that very, very much. Let me go ahead. It looks like Pat has called in. Let's see if I can get – there we go. Pat, are you with us? Pat Foreman, I have brought you live.
Okay, can you hear me, Andy?
I can.
Hold on, I need to make one more change on my sound here.
Okay.
And that ought to bring me on loud and clear. Now, how is that?
No change.
Can you hear me now? No change?
Still a little muffled, but it's better. I'd rather have you muffled than have a lot of echo and a lot of crossover like we had a few minutes ago. This sounds much better than what we had.
Is that any better? About the same. A little muffled still, huh?
Yep, but it's better than it was before. For if I was listening out there in radio land, listening like this and hearing that the sound muffled is better than the brain whacking that it was before. So that's not a problem. So now that we've got you where we can hear you, I must officially, of course, introduce my self-California. Yes, Pat Foreman. There, we can't go a day without that now, Pat. So tell us, you left the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy Annual Conference in Wichita, and you headed out to California, and now you were on a book tour out there and over on the left coast. And I know you're busy, 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 having an event just about every day. I did receive an email of your schedule, and all I can say is better you than me. You might want to stop by the store and get some 5-hour energy to drink on this tour, because you're going to need it.
Yeah. Well, what I find interesting about workshop whispers is that they energize me. I might go in feeling a little braggy, and as soon as I start interacting with people and get their interest and their eyes starting to open up and about chickens, it just charges me up. So, yeah, gosh, it says I'm talking through my muffler here. You know, I'm going to try one more thing, Whisper. Hold on. I'm going to unplug my headset and re-plug in and see what that does. So hold on just a minute. And Rhode Island Ruby says, California, where? I'm in Santa Barbara, the beautiful little city of Santa Barbara. So hold on. I'm going to unplug and re-plug.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Did that do it?
Yeah, it works fabulous now. Boy, we can really hear you good now, Pat.
Oh, boy, sometimes you just got to do that, unplug and replug.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I won't mess anything else up then.
No. It's fine.
The settings as they are.
Us high-tech rednecks, we got to stick together, you know. I mean, when you have Mayberry meet Star Trek, you're bound to have a few issues. So no problem.
That's right.
We will figure it out, my friend.
I do love Star Trek. That's true. Oh, dear. Okay,
so,
I can do one more thing. How does that help?
You're
does that make it any clearer or louder?
But you're just
it's
fine.
Just,
no problem. No
okay.
problem at all.
I'll leave it alone.
Hey,
great.
Said,
well, it's great to be back. So, hey,
yes.
It is Marvelous Monday. Whisper, you were trying to figure out an adjective for Monday. Marvelous Monday.
I was thinking about Manic Monday or Melancholy Monday or Move Over Monday. Hopefully Tuesday will be here soon or anything I could come up with. But I was just like, you know what? It's Monday, and Mondays are Mondays. So, but like you know, and our regular listeners know, we'll get through this week quite quickly if you join us every day at 12, because we do have fun. Fun Day Monday? No, it's not Fun Day Monday. Nope, sorry, can't call it that. That would be fun.
Friday's Fun Day. So
yes,
marvelous,
absolutely.
Magnificent, multifaceted Monday. And tomorrow's Trick Tuesday, so we get to look forward to that.
Or it could be two for Tuesday, where we give a lucky caller two prizes instead of one. Two for Tuesday. I don't know. We'll
there
just
we go.
Have to see what's in the prize bin. So you just never know. Hey, horse chat. Host chat.
I am still a little hoarse. I mean, that's you can tell I'm just a little husky here, but it's coming back.
But, yeah, host chat is a little short today because we do have Peter Brown on, and he is in queue. But I definitely want to have the people that are organizing your book tour to come on and share us a little bit of why in the world they want you on tour. No, I'm just kidding, Pat.
Well, actually, because we had so much technical problem there at the beginning, I suggest that we have Wesley Rowe is the organizer and kind of mastermind. And then also Marge Erickson is here. She's the touchstone for the whole thing. So I'm going to suggest we have them on when we don't have Peter, which has so much information, as well as we don't have the startup technical problems.
Okay.
So
that's
why don't
perfect.
We do that probably Wednesday or
that is,
someday
that
soon.
Is not a, that's not a problem. Also on Mondays when we have Peter Brown, because we always love to hear his information. We take calls and whatnot. We also eliminate our chickens in the news segment, which we normally have. We normally have a host chat segment in the beginning, just kind of getting ready for the show, me and Pat talking about anything that could be going on in our homesteads. Then we have chickens in the news, pertinent news regarding chickens or sustainability, urban farming, gardening. And then we bring our daily guest on about 12:30, but because of the vast amount of information that Peter brings to the table, we have a shorter host chat, and we eliminate our chickens in the news on Mondays. But so just for today, do you have an event today for our listeners in California that can come out and attend? Have you already had the event for today? And then tell us what you got going on for tomorrow so they can also maybe make plans.
Well, thanks, Whisper. Yeah, there's an event just about every day, and they're still being lined up. But today, this afternoon, I'll be going down to Ventura, and it's from 7 to 9 tonight. There's an evening talk. It's at Main Street. It's the VC Cool Group. It's sponsored by the VC Cool. And you can see their website at V, as in Victor, season cat, cool, O-O-L, .org. And if they want contact information, they can contact Rachel at 805-258-9369. 805-258-9369, and I'll post that in the chat room as well. And then tomorrow I'll be at the Fairview Gardens. They have a wild roots school, and I'll be there from 11:30 to 1, and that's at Fairview Gardens in Goleta, G-O-L-E-T-A. They're at 598 North Fairfield Avenue in Goleta. So that's what's coming up tomorrow, and then it just keeps unfolding for the next pretty much 40 days. So yeah. So now, that's what's coming up, and I'm so excited about it. Today's the first one. If they have any questions about the schedule in the future, I can give you a phone number to contact. It would be Wesley Rowe. Wes, he goes by. It's 805-964-1555. And they have the schedule, and they're making whatever changes or adjustments that needs to come on. And I'll also post that in the chat room. 805-964-1555. So it's coming. I really wish you were here, Whisper. We could have a blast talking to all these people and kids and just officials as well as teachers about chickens. So there we go.
Perfect. That sounds like a blast, Pat. And, I can't wait after first of the year to get back on the road again and do a little bit of touring and hitting some of the tractor supply stores and some of the Manipro stores that are out there. And then, of course, the Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival that's going to be in April, which is going to be a huge event with over 15 bands and a poultry show I think they're kind of working on. And it's just going to be a fabulous event. So it's hard work, but being on the road is fun. And speaking of being on the road and telling you how hard being on the road is, our guest today, Peter Brown, can definitely tell you how hard it is to be on the road, especially taking a van and a trailer road full of goods and products, setting them up, and then talking to people over and over and over and over all day long. And then for 2 days or so, and then packing everything back up, 14-hour drives back to the office, and then continuing his good works there at First State Vet Supply. So if anybody can tell you about long road trips and how they can wear you out, our guest today, Peter Brown, can do that. So let's go ahead and let me get over here to the switchboard, and voila, we'll bring on our good friend, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. Peter!
Hey, Andy.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. Pat's on a fancy book tour out there in California, flying around on a Learjet.
We know who's got all the money now.
Absolutely.
Right. Learjet.
She's on the money trip. Watch it.
You know, now Ventura is the same town that Oprah Winfrey lives in. She has one of her, like, 16 houses here.
Hey, what did I tell you? She's on a money roll. What did I tell you?
Hey, Peter. Glad to hear your voice again.
Hey, Pat, how are you?
I'm great. I'm having a blast.
Flying around on your Learjet, having limos pick you up, taking you from place to place. All the paparazzi with the flashes as you get out of the limousine, so tell me, your bodyguards, do they carry MP5s or?
I get carried in an egg, and then I pop out just like Lady Gaga.
Well, I'm going to take.
Now, if you believe that one, you really need therapy, I think. But,
I'm going to take that
to get
her own show on the Oprah Winfrey channel.
No, don't want that. No. But yesterday we had the most fun, I've got to tell you, only in Ventura or in Santa Barbara here. We spent the afternoon listening to a ukulele band with the ocean as a backdrop. How cool is that? We had so much fun.
Oh, that's cool.
A ukulele band. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. Are you feeling better?
Yes, I feel great, but my voice is still a little stressed.
So
it's a critter wants to know if I'm clothed in feathers, I guess, for the Lady Gaga entryway and an egg to these talks. But you know, Whisper, it's really not work. It's fun. I know you get buzzed too when you go on these trips. It's just always glad to get home, of course, but it's always nice to meet new people and spread the poultry love across the country. So here we go.
For myself, I don't know about Andy and yourself, Pat, but for me, meeting the people, talking to the people, trying to help fix the problems, that's the high for me. That's the drug that I run on. It's packing the junk up and driving home to kill you. And that's the part I really despise, that part of it. That's why I'm shortening up what I do now. No more super-duper long trips and... no offense to anybody, but Crossroads never again, Ohio National, not really, and Lucasville, all these people are good to me and has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that it's time. It's just time to...
Yeah. You have a huge booth, too, Peter. I mean, you carry like a semi-tractor trailer load of stuff with you. The boxes on boxes on boxes. I was just amazed how many boxes you had to pack up.
Yep. And, you got to the thing for me is I'm so far away from those type of shows that if you don't have it with you, you can't sell it. So you've got to bring
it.
And sometimes you have a tendency to bring a little bit more than you might need, but sometimes it's wishful thinking. But it all works out at the end of the day. But I've got other things that I want to do. And when I'm away all these shows and stuff, so I can't get the things that I want to do and need to do get done. My book has been languishing around for quite some time. And
I was just about to ask you about that, you're not doing so much on the tour anymore, just that the shows you select. So it probably gives you a little bit more time to work on your book.
Yeah, I'm four chapters away from finishing the disease book. And
That's huge news.
I spent all day yesterday working on it, and you may think this is dumb, but I do these things to myself. I also started a second one. You would think you would try to finish the first one first, but not me.
No, don't wait.
It's one of those things. So because both of them are fairly close to being done. It's just how much I'm a nitpicker. So I'll sit and I'll critique it, and I can critique it to death, and I'll change things constantly. And it's a habit that I have to break, or I'll never publish
anything. Peter, there's a saying that got me over that a little bit, and that's if something is so important to get done, it's worth being done poorly, which, of course, in your case and in my case, means it's really good. It's good to go. Mm-hmm. But just think it's better to get it out there than to try to have it perfect and not have it serve.
Yeah, I think that's all your needs. Because I worked all day yesterday on it from about 9 o'clock yesterday morning. Took break for lunch and what have you, but I worked on it until about 8 o'clock last night. And I think sometimes working on it too long, you lose the desire to go back and do it again.
Get tired of it.
Beautiful sunshiny day here.
What's your second book, Peter? What's the second one that you started?
It deals with embryology. And I have the title of it is you're gonna think this is funny, I'm sure. But it's true, and it's called The Pregnant Egg.
I love it.
And it's The Pregnant Egg, A Lesson in Avian Embryology. And so I wrote the intro for that yesterday, and some of the stuff I've been working on for quite a few years. I know, Pat, you've written a couple of books, and Andy, you've written a book, but I just have so much junk to go through photo-wise, picking out photographs, and none of the photographs are... some of them for the books are already been loaded into the computer, but a lot of these are not. So they all have to be resized. Some of them are so very old that the We've had to restore some of them and clean them up. Some have dirt on them that, for one reason or another, can't be gotten off. And so they're all out of my slide collection of probably 8,000 or 10,000 slides that I've got on all different.
Oh my God!
And wow. Yeah, so you go through and pick out stuff, and yeah, I've collected a menagerie.
Are they slides, Peter, or are they digital?
These are slides, and I have a Minolta slide reader that we upload into the computer with, and it takes, we can do 6 slides at a time. And so, yeah, everything will be, and I'm trying to figure out how to present it, too. You know, how do I get it? Do I put all the pictures at the end? Do I put one, you know, in each different chapter? I don't know. It's a daunting experience, and to have the both of them going at the same time is insane. But
Peter, I've got 4 books going on right now, and what I found happens is information just starts coming in that I just kind of keep a folder until I get time to work on. I just stick it in that folder and it accumulates. It takes me about 4 years to bring a book out.
Does it really?
That's the average 4 years.
I've been writing this for well over that, but you know, it's you know, years ago I used to publish a monthly newsletter on diseases and stuff, and I got a real education real quick about deadlines and everything else. And I think to a degree that kind of soured me on doing it, even though I know that the information I have is good and written the way I write, you know, will be of value to a lot of people. There will be things in this avian embryology book that you won't find anywhere else. You know, how to take eggs that are precious to you and store them long term and still get some hatchability out of them, even after 30 days.
Wow! Yeah. Really?
Oh yeah. Yep. Ooh. Yep. You know, and we talk about, you know, taking care of the breeder flock as well. And incubation is you know, part science and part art. The science part of it's been all figured out for you. The art is you and how you fine tune and look at things and. You know, and once you understand, you know, how the whole thing works, you'll get better and better at it. And, you know, you'll learn, you know, more and more. The more you hatch, the better things get. And we'll take people through a whole segment on how to take a poor hatch and examine all the eggs and the remains and see if you can put your finger on what caused it so you can correct it. So there's a whole lot of good stuff in the book, things that you just generally can't find anywhere, things that I've accumulated over the years. You know, in all my training, I trained, with a breeder company to learn how to hatch eggs. I mean, you know, there's the old adage, you know, anybody can hatch eggs. Well, that's true. But what I'm talking about is good quality chicks, chicks that don't die in the brooder, chicks that when they go into the brooder, they thrive instead of having to constantly doctor them with something and because they were poor when they came out of the shell due to poor breeder nutrition or poor egg handling and so on and so forth. So there's a whole lot of things that go into it that people don't think. You know, when the egg is laid, it's already been incubated for roughly 24 hours when it's been fertilized. And
that's right.
So that's where the pregnant egg thing comes in. What I want people to understand is you can't treat it like a football. You know, and it is delicate, just like a woman who's pregnant, as Andy well knows. So I want people to have that respect for it. So that's basically where that title comes from. And just off the top of my head, I got thinking about it one day, and I said, maybe this will, you know, make people understand and be focused on good eggs hatch good chicks. Crappy eggs hatch crappy chicks. That's just the way it is. And
right. Walter in the chat room, Peter, says he can't wait for your book, Doc.
I, too.
I got to put my name in that.
Maybe when people
too.
See me, they can walk up to me and just gently boot me in the butt, and I'll get this stuff done.
Hey, Doc, we've got some questions. Speaking of getting down to business,
sure.
Nell has a question in the chat room. She says, "My other chickens are pecking the heck out of my hen every day. What can I do to stop this? Again, my other chickens are pecking the heck out of a hen I have every day. What can I do to stop this?" And I'm going to maybe suggest or guess that you're going to talk about pinless peepers.
I am, because most of the time you can't stop it. Most of the anti-pick lotions that you can find – And I'll be honest with you, I have never seen an anti-pick product work, generally because the picking is started before we, you know, really know what's going on. In other words, you don't realize who's going to be picked and puts lotion on them, so you don't put lotion on every bird, so you end up with a bird that they're picking on. And once they start, it's kind of like bullying, so to speak, in the barnyard. And very, very difficult to do. A lot of it is the different types of breeds. I don't know. I think some of it, to some degree, is hormonally related, where they wake up one morning and they feel like they're the king of the mountain or whatever, whether it be a female. I've seen female, you know, I've seen hens be just as nasty as a rooster. So, you know, it's tough to stop it once it starts. And I would seriously suggest the pinless peepers. And you don't necessarily have to keep them on forever. It's kind of like a lesson in behavior, you know. You know, we put handcuffs on people to get them to jail, but we don't keep the handcuffs on them as a general rule all day long. So the way to do it would be to put the peepers on the bird, well, the offending birds, and just leave them on for a couple, 3-4 weeks, and then take them off. Maybe take them off at night when they don't even realize what's going on, and then in the morning have a whole different attitude. So I've seen it work both ways. I've seen it where nothing seems to help them, and they just are intent on picking on another bird. And that's also part of the pecking order. But it shouldn't be that they're, you know, that they're that aggressive. But some breeds are worse than others. You know, Old English game birds. I mean, I've seen them at shows where the they had a male and a female together, and don't ask me why, but the male was just beating her to death on her head. Her head was all bloody and everything else. And you know, she's trying to duck him like Joe Frazier, but wasn't working. And you know, every time he hit her right on top of the head, she started to bleed more and more. And at one show, actually, had to get somebody to separate him out because he would have killed her. And but some breeds just are more aggressive. I do sell the peepers in the online store, but if this particular individual is talking about just, you know, 5 or 6 birds, all she needs to do is send me an email, and I'll be glad to send her 5 or 6 pair of the pinless peepers to try. Now, for people to understand how they're put on, if you can get yourself a snap ring plier, if you don't know what it is, ask your husband. If you don't, you know, go online and find out. But it's to take a snap ring off of a part for automobiles as a general rule. And they are pliers that open the opposite way when you squeeze the handle. So instead of closing when you squeeze the handle, they open out. You put the peeper on that, you open it, you drop it down over the nostril, you release the plier, and the pins go in each side. They do not break the membrane in the nostril, and the bird is you know, not hurt in any way, shape, or form. It limits their forward distance that they can see. They can see down, they can see up, and they can see to the sides. But you'll see an attitude adjustment real quick because, whoa, who turned out the lights? That kind of thing, you know. It should slow it down, and it should stop it. And like I say, I'd probably leave them on for about a month, then, you know, take them off. So if that person wants to send me an email, I'd be glad to send out a half a dozen of them free of charge.
And that's chickendr@firststatevetsupply.com.
That's correct.
chickendr@firststatevetsupply.com. Let me announce the phone number, too. We'll get some people to call in. I know we have one person that's holding, wants to talk to you. 347-637-3237 is the number to call in to ask your question to Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply, firststatevetsupply.com. That's 347-637-3237. And then when you call, you'll be prompted to press 1 to speak with the host. So if you'd like to be on the air live with and ask your question to Peter, then press 1 to speak with the host when you call. So we'll go to the phone lines right now. We have a caller calling in from area code 919. 919, I believe that's North Carolina. State your name and what's your question for Peter Brown? Area code 919?
Yes. My name is David, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
My question is, my flock seemed to have got a cold in the late summer, and they were sneezing, so I treated them with tetracycline and Sevacheck for some, what do you call it?
Okay, Sevacheck is a vitamin compound.
I gave them a vitamin compound as well.
Okay.
Tetracycline. And it all cleared up except I have two chickens still to this day that are sneezing. And sometimes there's a running discharge from the nostrils. They seem healthy. They eat well. They're still breathing. I don't know what to do to get
okay.
this to away or if it'll just go away on its own.
All right. What kind of tetracycline did you use? There are at least four. So if you can tell me what you used, was it the duramycin?
Yeah, duramycin, that's it.
Okay. And how much of the duramycin did you put in a gallon of water?
Well, whatever. I can't remember exactly, but it was what they prescribed on the package for a
poultry. Okay. All right. Then if you followed what they prescribed on the package, you didn't come close to having enough. So what I would do is I would take the couple of birds that are still sneezing, and I would take that duramycin, if you still have it, and I would take a tablespoon and act like it's a big coal shovel, like you shovel in a driveway if you've ever shoveled snow, and get a good heaping tablespoon of that, put it in a gallon of water, and give it to them for 10 to 14 days. Most people
okay.
don't medicate with enough, and they don't medicate long enough. I think we went over this last week, but it's worth going over again because I run into it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
While the bag of duramycin seems cheap at Tractor Supply, and it is at $6, $7 for the most
That's
part, the problem with it is there isn't enough medication in there to really do what needs to be done. For instance, the 6.4-ounce bag weighs 181.4 grams, and if you look on the front of the bag, it'll tell you that there's 10 grams of oxytetracycline in that bag. So what that means is you've got 171.4 grams of nothing.
Oh, I see.
Okay. If you were to buy the concentrate, which I would suggest you buy, we sell it on our site for $9.50 a piece. It's a 280-gram bag total weight, but it has 102.4 grams of oxytetracycline in the bag. So what that means is that the bag that I'm selling is 10 times stronger on an active ingredient basis than is the bag that you bought, and you would have only paid a couple dollars more. Of course, you would have paid shipping and stuff, but you still would have much more powerful antibiotic to work with.
Is it called duramycin or what?
It's called Oxytet.
Oxy?
O-X-Y-T-E-T.
Okay,
and it's a real good product, as is the duramycin. I'm not knocking the product per se. What I'm saying is that there is not enough antibiotic in that bag to really do the job. And if you still have trouble, you can either get a hold of me with an email at chickendr@firststatevetsupply.com, or if you give me a call in the office at 410-546-6137 after you've done this and you're still not getting anywhere, we'll take another look at it. Or you can call in either way you want to do it.
Do you think this is just a cold, or is it?
No such thing as a cold. It's caused by something. It's either a bacterial problem or a coryza or a mycoplasma or something along those lines.
Peter, I might have missed it. Do you recommend him treating just those two that are still sneezing or his whole flock again?
No, just the two that are sneezing.
Okay.
Is it possible to mix that and take this in water and feed it on bread where I could just feed them like that separately?
It's not a good idea because you're not getting a controlled dose into the birds. It's only when you're around to feed them. Birds drink constantly throughout the day, so in this way they would be getting the medication on a regular basis.
Okay, gotcha.
Because most medications don't stay in the bloodstream for a long period of time. That's why when you go to the doctor, unless you've got one of the newer medications that are or extended release or every other day type thing, they tell you to take a medication every 4 hours or every 8 hours, and that's to keep the blood level of it up, because if you don't, the blood level drops and it gets low enough it isn't going to do anything even though you're taking medication.
Okay, and is this unusual for this to hang on so long for just a couple of the birds?
My guess is they probably either didn't drink enough or get enough medication in the beginning.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it is coryza, it can be very tough to get rid of.
And they don't show any effects of being sick. It's just the sneezing. I mean, they're
right.
robust.
Right.
Okay.
But the sneezing's not normal. So see if this takes care of it. And like I said, if you still have trouble, get back to me.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, great, perfect. Thank you, caller from North Carolina.
That's great. Hey, Whisper, I
yes.
need to leave here really fast for a meeting we've got about the tour.
Oh, it sounds like, wait, what's this? What? Okay, I'm getting interrupted here. It sounds like Pat's bodyguard is interrupting the show, and apparently her limo has just pulled up to the scene,
stop.
Are whispering for her next event, and so it sounds like that we're going to
leave. It's the eggnog just pulled up. Oh, you're so funny. No, but listen, Peter, I'm going to re-listen to the show because I know there's much more, and I always take a bunch of notes when you're on the show.
Okay.
And Andy, thanks so much for having me on and for carrying through this tour that's coming up. I think it's going to be pretty exciting and everything. So if you'll please let me exit stage left here, I'll say, forever and always, may the flock be with you all. I'll tune in tomorrow, and thanks so much.
Have a good trip, Pat.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you so much. Not only exciting, but she's going to go off to a big extravaganza, it sounds like. She's having a great time, and you can hear it, and that's super. So glad for her success out there on the West Coast. Go get them, Pat. So thank you, caller from North Carolina. We've got another caller here calling in from area code 903. Area code 903, you're on the air with Andy and Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Please state your name, the state you're calling from, and then your question for Peter.
Okay, I'm Pat from East Texas.
All righty, Pat. Thank you for calling. What's your question?
Hey, you may have already addressed this. I don't know. Probably. This is our first year, and our chickens are a little over a year old, and there's one that's starting to lose her feathers. Is that maybe molting around this time? She looks pretty ragged around the neck, and she's lost her tail feathers, and just
sounds
wondered
like
if
it to
what
me.
It was.
She too, yep.
Yep, sounds like it to me. If some birds molt later than others, it's related to sometimes to temperature. Mostly through day length, it sounds to me like that she's molting, and the others will probably follow if they haven't already. Some birds.
This is the first one.
Okay, some birds molt very very heavy. Other birds molt very slowly. So sometimes I've seen it where a bird will go through a full molt, and you'll hardly notice it because they're not dropping so many feathers. But evidently, this gal has decided to shed them pretty quick.
Okay.
But she should put them back on over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. So they're black Australorp. That's it.
Pardon?
Breed didn't make any difference when they do it?
It might. It might make some difference, especially if it's one of the show breeds because of inbreeding and so on and so forth. But most of them will shed their feathers, right around the same time, and they'll shed them in the same order.
Okay. All right. Also, we have two roosters, and one of them keeps getting really banged up by the other one, and we've put him in the front yard. Do we need to look for another home for him, do you think, or is there a possibility they could...
How many hens do you have with your two roosters?
23 hens and two roosters.
I think that sounds like a pretty good number matchup.
1 to 10 is usually where you want to be.
Yeah.
If you don't mind the rooster, the extra bird, and you want to keep him, what I would do is take and send me your address via email and everything and request two of the Pinless Peepers, and I'll send them to you and put them on them, both of them, and that should cut that stuff right out.
Okay.
So if you just send me your name and address and your telephone number to chickendr@firststatevetsupply.com.
Okay, is this on the Facebook page?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you can reach me through there, too. You should be able to, anyway.
All right. I'll do that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much for your call. All right, you're talking about molting. And, of course, you know, we'll get molting questions from as early as August, September, in some of the colder states, then we'll get them through. Again, here it is halfway through November and December, talking about molting in Texas, which I think she said she was calling from in the warmer states, but it's just now starting to get cool. So we will get those, just like we start getting questions about putting heat in the coop back really in September. And then they'll continue all the way through even first of the year, especially when it really starts getting cold, or when we start having those big cold fronts come through the East Coast here in late December, January, and February. So that does happen. Let me check the chat room here and see if we've got any folks that are posting any questions. I may have missed a couple while I was over on the switchboard. And if you're in the chat room, we thank you very much. Post your questions for Peter Brown in all caps, so we know you want your question read on the air. Just post your question in all caps. And then or you can message them to me. If it's easier, you can message them to me in the chat room. Just click on where it says Chicken Whisperer, and then, of course, you'll click on Private, and then a little chat box pops up. And then you can type in your question there, and I'll make sure that I get them to on air. So that may be a better way to do that, since the chat room sometimes scrolls so fast I might miss it. Send me a private instant message in the chat room, and I'll make sure I get that on the air. Or, of course, if you're listening live, you can call 347-637-3237, 347-637-3237. And we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. Find him online, firststatevetsupply.com. It's the home of the $25 chicken health consultation. Since there's less than 200 or right around 200 certified avian vets on the whole North American continent, good, reliable information is hard to come by, but he is there for you. So give him a call or email him, chickendr@firststatevetsupply.com. And we'll come back. We'll continue with chicken health questions with Peter Brown. Stay tuned.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more.
Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supplies' Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And we're coming up on 3 years of broadcasting coming up in February. We've given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet, along with more chicken prizes than anybody on the planet. And we're doing it again, yep, starting December 1st. If that falls on a weekday, let me go over here to the calendar and check it out. December the 1st starts on a Thursday. So for the month of December, we're going to have another contest. We just gave away an awesome chicken coop in October, and we're starting up another chicken coop contest in December. It'll start on Thursday, December 1st, and it will end probably sometime around, we'll have to take a look at our holiday broadcast schedule for the Christmas and New Year's holiday, but nonetheless, for the month of December, we're going to have a contest, doggone it, and we're going to give away another awesome chicken coop from our good friends Derek and Tracy over at mypetchicken.com. So, yep, somebody's going to get a good Christmas present come December, a listener of the show, fan on Facebook, our follower on Twitter. It's going to win a beautiful chicken coop valued at $400 plus shipping, which can add another $250 to it, depending on where you live in the country. So somebody's going to be lucky in December and wrap up the year a happy camper. So we've got that going on in December. So stay tuned for more information about the contest. Let me get over here and bring Peter Brown back on live. And we've got another caller calling in from area code 256. Area code 256. You are on the air with Andy and Peter. State your name, the state you're calling from, and then your question.
This is Jan Williams, and
hi, Jan.
I'm from Alabama. Hello.
Alabama, great. Hey, are you close to, oh my gosh, where is that going to be? I'm trying to think the city. It's not, oh my goodness. The Alabama
I'm
chicken
in Talladega.
Neck?
Okay, well, you're not too far. You're a little bit south, but from where the Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival is going to be. That's going to be April the 14th, or maybe it's the April the 15th and April the 16th. Huge, huge event. The Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival, 15 bands. I'm going to be there. There's going to be, a poultry show they're planning to get. So I'll get you more information on that, or you can follow us on Facebook. So, but if probably, I guess, maybe a two-hour drive from you or less. I'm trying to think the city that it's in, and I can't remember. But nonetheless, state your question for Peter Brown.
Well, actually, I think it's in Moulton, Alabama.
Moulton, okay. I'm going to go to the website now so I can. Is that about a couple of hours away?
I believe so. But I do have, I actually like them on Facebook, so I get updates. My question to Ms. Brown is, I have, we started out with five hens. Two were white Javas, two black Javas, and one mottled Java, and then one rooster. Well, we incubated some eggs, and now we have about 20, they're all 5 months old. But my mottled, I have six roosters. We've separated the black ones, the black hens and the black roosters, but we left the whites and the mottled in one area. Well, my mottled chicken is acting like she's, starving to death. And I wonder if they will keep her from getting to her food.
It's possible. I, having done this for quite a few years, I've come to the conclusion that chickens will do just about anything.
I didn't know if, because she's an odd color, if they would do that.
What do you say? She's losing weight, not eating. To describe what you're seeing, maybe we can get a better handle on that.
Okay. Well, what I've done is I've isolated her in a coop by herself where she can get to her food and water.
Okay.
And she's when we noticed that she was losing weight. And so she appears to be eating and drinking like there's no tomorrow. So, and I'm just afraid it may be too late because I didn't notice until she was not moving around too much that she had actually lost so much weight.
When you say a lot of weight, is the keel bone prominent now, or is it, you're familiar with what the keel bone is? It's the bone right straight down the middle of the breast.
Yes, it's prominent.
Okay. What do the bird's droppings look like? Have you looked at that?
I'm sorry.
Have you had an opportunity to look at the bird's droppings, since you've moved her?
No, I haven't.
Okay. And how does she act in relation to now being penned up by herself? Does she appear happier, or is she lethargic, or?
Well, she's lethargic. She acts like she wants out. She is moving around. She's not, she's not unable to move. But
when I look at a bird being lethargic, I look at a bird that stands around, no motivation, droopy wings, fluffed up, maybe just sitting in the corner, just head down, falling asleep, standing up, or sitting, sleeping most of the time. They do eat, but they just never gain weight. She may be motivated to get out of there, but that's a false motivation from the standpoint that, she's eating, but she's not gaining weight. So it indicates that there's some sort of abnormality. Either she's been allowed to become emaciated, I don't believe it. If she's eating and drinking and defecating and so on, I don't believe that she will succumb to not having enough food a week ago. There seems to me that there may be more to it. Worms, coccidiosis being one of the biggest killers of chickens that there ever was. because it goes unnoticed. People think that the medicated feed is going to do the trick, and it doesn't. So I would probably take a good look at her droppings. If you have an opportunity to bring them down to your local vet, he could do a fecal flotation test for you. It shouldn't cost an arm and a leg. It would be the same type of a test he would do for your dog. You would read it the same way. The coccidia looked the same. And he could tell you that if, you know, if she's loaded with them or not. He could also tell you if there's worms in the droppings. But if a bird is becoming emaciated and it were wormy, you would certainly see them in the droppings.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with a case right now where they just can't seem to get rid of these roundworms in these birds, and the things are huge, 4, 5, 6, 7 inches long. And but these birds have access to alternative sources of water, and I think that's what part of the problem is. But getting the people that own them to pet them up has been difficult. But that's what I would look at. I mean, there are other diseases, and they're not happy diseases either. Lymphoid leucosis is one, which is basically cancer of the liver, and it causes the liver to grow out of control, and bird will eat and eat and eat, doesn't put on any weight at all. I can't say that's what it is, but I think I would look at coccidiosis first and worms second, and then after that, if this bird is, you know, continuing to eat and drink and not putting on weight, there's something else going on, and then I would start to lean the other way towards the what we call lymphoid leucosis, or big liver disease. You know, could be wrong on that aspect. It was a tough one to do. Most of the time, you don't know until the bird's dead. Then you open them up, and the liver is just huge, takes up all of the body cavity. But I would start with the coccidiosis end of it. If this bird were mine, I may even go ahead and treat for coccidiosis. You have nothing to lose by doing so. And I would certainly put the bird in a position where you could observe the droppings. A real good dropping is what you want. So you want something after she's had plenty to eat, and then she, you know, will make a decent dropping for you. You can take a look at it. If they're roundworms, they look like spaghetti. They'd be an opaquish white. If they are tapeworms, they will be flat and serrated. And in the case of real young worms, they'll look like rice in the droppings. Signs of blood in the droppings can be another indication of coccidiosis as well. So I would look in those areas first. How long do you think since you recognized the bird not doing well? How long has that been?
How long has it been since
you first noticed that this bird was not doing well?
It was just Saturday.
Okay. All right, so you're right on top of it. You know, that's the fact that she's still alive today, that proves my point that malnutrition in the beginning doesn't carry itself over. She should start to gain weight if she's going to do so, if it was just a malnutrition deal. But, you know, if she has all the food that she wants to eat and all the water that she wants to drink, and you're observing her drink and eat that food, you know, she should gain weight. She should get better. But in the light of the possible disease entities that I talked about, you know, she won't get better unless you intervene on the coccidiosis part. And the other one, if it were the lymphoid leucosis, nothing you can do.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much, Mr.
Okay.
Brown.
Feel free to give me a holler or email or whatever, and let me know your progress, lack thereof. If I can help you in any way, shape, or form, I will.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty, I was sent a question in the chat room. Let me pull it up here. Let's see. This comes to us from Vanessa. I have a leghorn hen, or a leghorn if you're from the South. I have a leghorn hen with a huge comb. The comb turns bluish on the ends. Is this normal? Let's see. It just started happening when it cooled down here, so I don't know if it's from the cold, but I do live in Florida, so it's really not that cold. She's acting fine, and she never has a blue comb during the day. It usually happens more really early in the morning or late in the evening. Any comments?
Very interesting. Usually a large comb is the sign of a good layer. It's one of the signs. As a matter of fact, that's one of the subjects we were going to talk about today. May get to it, may not. No, the blueness coming and going is not normal. It would indicate to me some sort of a circulatory problem, whether it's related to a respiratory condition or not, I don't know. Since it didn't mention any, you know, sneezing, snotty noses, or anything like that, I would then start looking in the mouth for any abnormalities in the mouth, any growths. Canker is a disease that the chickens get. It's a protozoa. So I would look at that. You'll know it when you see it. It's a yellow to orange yellow looking spot, not necessarily round. May look like small buttons in the mouth. Lots of times people will overlook them and think they're just feed stuck to the mouth somewhere, and they're not. Left unchecked, they kill birds. They cut off the air. They get into the body cavity and wreak havoc there. So that excuse me, that's one of the things that I would look at. But it seems to me to be a circulation problem if it's coming and going. And it's going to be hard to address that type of issue. If the comb stayed blue all the time or dark, I could probably look at it being some sort of a abnormality in the intestine. We see that as an old disease that's of undefined consequence, meaning that nobody knows what causes it, called blue comb. We've all seen it, or mud fever. But that's those two diseases really, in reality, don't exist per se, because nobody ever discovered what caused those things back then. But it was always thought to be a disease problem from a gut standpoint that caused those kind of things. Certainly a bird that is having heart trouble, and don't think it doesn't happen. Birds get arteriosclerosis just like humans. They can have heart failure. They can have congestive heart failure. So the other question I'd like to know is the bird being fed cat food, dog food, any of those kind of things, or a diet that's high in salt, because that can lead to these kinds of issues with the comb turning dark or cyanotic from the excessive salt that will cause the leaking of venous material into the body cavity and cause another disease called ascites. We've talked about it once before on the show. And that's basically the old, what we used to call water belly. They never understood it back then. Now they do. But it can also be caused by birds that have right ventricular heart failure. And so if the bird has a small heart for a big body, that could be another issue. I don't think it's anything to worry about. You didn't mention if the bird was in production or not. The size of the comb, the feel of the comb, the color of the comb, all will determine or show you whether a bird is in production or not. So you might want to take a look at those things. If the comb is cold to the touch, probably not laying or laying very few eggs. If the comb is very, very warm to the touch, and red and thick and waxy, it's probably in reasonably good production. So that's all I can add to it at this point. Can't really put your finger on it. It's one of those things that escapes us from time to time.
Okay. Let me get back over here to the switchboard. Thank you very much. And let's see. Haven't noticed anything in her mouth. But she was a little sniffly a few days ago. No dog or cat food, good healthy food, and so it's going to be one of those things. Keep an eye on it. And
yeah,
definitely,
I would go into the coop at night and stand around where this bird, particular bird, may be, and listen for any snicking, snorting, coughing, choking, whatever. They make that squeak lots of times when they
mm-hmm.
have difficulty breathing. So you may be able to put your finger on it then. But if she was a little sniffly, then that's that could be where this is coming from. There could be mucus in the airway. And as we talked last week, week before, the trachea of the bird is not very big. And when you start loading up with water, mucus, or anything else, it all runs downhill. And as you go into the body cavity, the I'll call it tubing for the sake of it, all gets smaller, very, very small. And you start to look at the trachea itself, about the diameter of the outside diameter of a yellow number 2 lead pencil. And when you get down into the what we call the mesobronchi, which are way down deep in the body cavity by the lungs, you start to look at stuff that is not much more than the diameter of the lead of that pencil. So, and then, you know, we have the ability to cough and sneeze and make these gut-wrenching noises to move phlegm out of our throat and what have you. Birds don't.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have it. And so when these things happen, you start cutting off air. And so that very well could be one of the causes for that. Now, why it gets better during the day or gets worse at night may just be the fact that she's walking around, running around, moving stuff. You know, I know myself, I've got a few allergies. Sometimes when I get up in the morning, it can be a little bit difficult getting moving. And so, you know, it just works that way. But, if you really feel you need to medicate her, I would definitely medicate her 2 teaspoons of Oxytet in the water 10 to 14 days. And I think that would probably suffice.
Perfect. Very good. Very good. We've got. If you have a question, we're kind of running out of time. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show, and you can hear that people are getting some fabulous advice from Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor and founder of First Aid Vet Supply. So give us a call, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Or if you're in the chat room, you can message me, private message me, a question you'd like to have read on the air so we can get that done here in the last few minutes of the show. And while we're waiting on that, an earlier caller had talked about molting. And so I was going to ask if you could tell our listeners, because it is rampant out there on some of the forums, and you see so much stuff out there, my birds are molting, and so they need more protein, so I'm putting them on Chick Starter or Game Bird Grower so they can get more protein. Oh, I'm giving my chickens cat food because it's higher in protein than chicken food, and I do that when they're molting, or molting is very painful for the bird, or, you know, all these things. Maybe you could elaborate maybe a little bit on is there anything we need to add to our flock's diet when they're going through the molt to help them recover faster, or just to help them nutritionally while they're going through the molt? Because, again, with the feathers being mostly made up of a protein, do we need to compensate with that in their diet?
And my overall general answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bit of a fan of adding some vitamins and electrolytes to the water, not on an everyday basis, again, because of the salt content.
Right.
But if you're feeding a good ration to your birds, there really isn't any need to go back and feed them differently. Definitely no dog food, cat food. I'm just so against
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the negative side of it too many times. And I know there's people out there go, well, I feed it all the time and I never have any trouble. And I know that. And run out in front of the bus again one time, you know, and trip and see what happens. But it's the way that they just don't need all that salt. Too much protein is no good for the kidneys anyway. It can help induce gout. So you're making it tough on the bird by giving them more protein than they need. It's the same scenario as having a dog in your home that is your companion, and he sleeps 90% of the time, or having a dog that you're out in the woods with every day and he's chasing rabbits and squirrels and whatever. One needs a little bit more protein than the other, I think. Maybe even eats a little bit more than the other, but it's the same scenario. To give them more than they need is not helpful. To answer the question about the bird being in pain, I don't think so. the feathers are dropped without any it's a hormonal thing basically, and the feather is dropped out and a new one starts to grow. They don't come out as these giant quills. They grow to that, you know. That's why you have all these pin feathers all over the birds, that they start out small and go from there. So to my knowledge, I've never seen any, and I mean any, research at all based on, you know, a bird being in pain or duress from the molt per se. Now, the flip side of these things is your flock in good health? Birds who constantly have problems with coccidiosis may need a little bit of a boost, okay? And that, you judge that on how well the birds are coming along. I like to leave them alone. I don't like to pick them up and handle them. That may hurt them. I don't know. But I think that, the condition of the gut will make your good chicken feed that you're feeding work very well in the bird. You know, if you're buying stuff, and I've seen it happen where people have been enticed because food, the feed was cheap for some reason or other. I've seen a major breeder do it, and ended up having a multitude of wing problems with their birds. The feed was cheap. They had a lot of birds, and they were buying a ton of feed a week or whatever it was, so somebody offered them a feed that was about $50 a ton cheaper. And I will only say this about feed. Most companies, give or take a little bit, pay about the same for corn and soybeans. Somebody might run a deal on something somewhere and get it. But by and large, they all cost the same. There might be a little advantage for some companies bigger than others. But feeding good quality food to your birds, free choice, let them have all they want, and good clean water, speaks volumes to the bird's good health, good nutrition, and the bird coming out of the molt with some really fantastic looking feathers. But I really don't believe that you need to run around and do all these other things. They can be counterproductive, and I just don't see the overall need for them. Commercial companies that lay out birds longer than they want to and put them into a molt, they don't do anything special.
Yeah.
It just isn't necessary if the feed is good and the birds were in good health to start with. If you've got health issues with your birds, it's just like anything else. I would probably supplement them with something, but anything other than no dog food, no cat food, no tuna fish either.
Very good. Yeah. So basically, it's kind of leave well enough alone, and it's a natural process for the last 7,000 years since the chickens were domesticated. So
usually, I mean, if you think about things on a rational basis, which I try to do, every time man sticks his nose in somewhere, he screws it up. I mean, that's been my take on it. You know what I mean? Relocating one animal from another place to another place to accommodate some law ends up putting things out of balance. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, if you want to go live in bobcat country, I think you better be prepared. Sorry. That's just the way I look at it. And, if you want to go ride your bike in the mountains and everything else where you know there's going to be bobcats, go at it. Just don't blame the bobcat when he tears you up. I mean, that's just my perspective. Every time man sticks his nose in, stuff gets messed up. And it's amazing just to see the things that we do. Build a huge, giant dam, screw up all the salmon that were going upriver to spawn, and now decide to tear the damn dam down because the salmon can't get up there when you thought they could and everything else. Just idiocy.
Craziness, yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, based on our time, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Don't see any callers in queue here in the chat room or on the switchboard, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Peter, I will contact you. I'm not sure yet if we're going to be taking the whole week tomorrow off, next week off, or we're going to come in and do a show Monday, Tuesday, and then off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I have not figured it out yet. We're still waiting to see
what
happens.
Let me know what you want to do.
And we'll let you know off the air, and we'll keep you posted. But thank you very much for joining us. Always a great show. Always great information.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
We're told to contact me. If they do, they'll get the stuff gratis, so no problem.
That sounds good. Thank you. Yep, and so you want to contact Peter, then you can do that at chickendr at firststatevetsupply.com. You can go to his website, firststatevetsupply.com, and you can send him an email that way. There's a phone number there where you can give him a call. Again, and of course, he has the chicken consultation program as well, where you can contact him if you have issues, and he'll work with you along the way to try to make save your flock, save your chickens, and try to get the right information the first time, because dilly-dallying around, reading something on a forum and using that may not hurt, but it may not help, and by the time you actually talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about, it's too late, and the disease has progressed too far, and all you can do is put down your chicken. So try to get the right answer the first time. And Peter, and contacting Peter is one way to do that. ChickenDR at firststatevetsupply.com. All righty, folks. So we'll be back right after this.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, VermexUSA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. All righty, thank you very much. That's going to wrap up another show, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And we'll see you tomorrow here at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, tomorrow we welcome Andrew Odom, founder of TinyRevolution.us, tinyrevolution.us. Tune in and get updates on his goal of living a minimalist lifestyle with his wife and new daughter. And then this coming Wednesday, it looks like we've got another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And then Thursday, I think we've got Dr. McRae, PhD in poultry scientist, and then another fun Friday this Friday. So tune in tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Have a great day.
Ha 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 ha